I'm glad you guys made it in today. We're going to finish talking about the cumulative effect today. But next weekend is the weekend that if you're a Christ follower, if you're convinced of who Jesus is, it's the big weekend, and I'm absolutely excited about it. And so we're going to be doing three services next weekend because it's just a time when so many people pour into church all at the same time. And so we're going to be having a Saturday night service at 6 p.m., and then we're going to be having our normal Sunday mornings at 9:30 and 11. But one of the things that we would like to have some help with is some of our areas of volunteering. And so there is a form in your seat back pocket. And so if you would just reach in that seat back pocket and grab this form, it's going to make you look good because people are going to be looking around and going, oh, look, maybe they're volunteering. And so I'm just trying to help you look good. I'm not even telling you you have to sign up, but if you'll just reach in and you grab this form, you'll see it. Listen, where we need the most help right now is with our Saturday night service. And with our Saturday night service, we need some help with our preschool areas, our bed babies, our preschoolers, and then we also need help with our kids venture area. And what we need help with is we need help with extra hands. We need help with, we just need some helpers in the room. You don't need to try to be preparing and cramming a lesson and being able to teach the Bible this coming Saturday. We just need some extra hands for the crowd that's going to be coming. And so you could check that off if that's something you'd be willing to do. Also, on Sunday morning, we're going to need some extra hands working with our preschoolers. And then there's other areas besides children's ministry that maybe you go, you know what, I just don't do kids. And well, there's other areas where we could be using your help as well. And so you could just fill this in. And then you could take this and you could be dropping it off at the Welcome Center. You could drop it off at Next Steps. You could even put it in the offering box when you leave. And that would be a great help for us. And then one other thing that I will tell you about Easter weekend is I think it's going to be a great time for you to be about what our evangelism strategy is here at Crosspoint. Because we have an evangelism strategy. You know, some of you guys, you're here and you don't even necessarily believe. You're going, oh, you're one of those churches. Yes, we are. We're one of those. We really believe in Jesus, and we just want to share and spread that love and hope with other people. And so we have the strategy. And our strategy is to get you and to involve you guys and be an evangelist and helping lead people to Jesus. And so our strategy is threefold. It is invite, it's invite, and the third step is to invite. That is our evangelism strategy, and this is going to be a great weekend for you to do some inviting, because this is going to be a weekend whether somebody's going, you know what, I'm not sure about that whole Jesus thing, or whether there's somebody that they've just been so far removed from God for so long and they just feel this kind of tug and they're like, I think I ought to and I think I should. And it's going to be a great weekend. And for people that are just living a life of celebrating who Jesus is, it's going to be a win across all spectrums on Sunday. We're doing a standalone message. It's not going to be a series, calling it Believe. And it is going to be something I'm just so looking forward to being able to share this with you guys next weekend. And so I look forward to having you guys be there. Look forward to the help and support that you guys are going to offer and doing some inviting. Well, today we're going to wrap up talking about the cumulative effect. And as we've been looking at this cumulative effect, we started this thing with, hey, whatever you do, it's either working for you or against you. That everything that we're doing in life, it's either working for us or against us. That we looked at this law of sowing and reaping. And the law of sowing and reaping, everything you do in life is sowing seeds. Everything you do, it's sowing seeds. And whatever you sow, you reap, okay? That what you sow, you reap. So whatever kind of seeds you're sowing, that's going to be the fruit that you're going to be producing. And then when it comes to that, what you're sowing, that you reap what you sow, you also reap later than you sow. It doesn't happen right away. There's going to be some time later that's going to happen. Sometimes we do some really good things. We planned, we were really intentional, and we kind of forgot about it, and all of a sudden these great things just start to happen. We're like, why did this happen? But it also turns out to be the other way as well. Sometimes we do some really selfish or maybe some evil things, and we were doing them, we were sowing those seeds, and years later, it catches up to us because we reap later than we sow. But we reap more than we sow. We looked at this passage that Paul was writing to this church, the church in Galatians, the church of Galatia. And we looked at this passage, and it's found in Galatians chapter 6. It's the very last chapter in the book of Galatians. And he's writing to people who are already convinced of who Jesus is. And so he writes this to them. He says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. And there'll be people that they'll try to mock it and go, it doesn't matter, nothing's going to happen. And that's mocking God, because God has set up a structure that we reap what we sow. You will always harvest what you plant. And he said, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. Because a harvest is coming, that what we plant matters. And when there's things that we want to harvest, we're not going to get a harvest of with the seeds sitting on the shelf. And so we have to get out there and we have to sow those seeds that we really do desire to be harvesting. And that when we cultivate whatever we plant, it leads to a greater harvest. That we would spend that time cultivating it. Last week we talked about sweating the small stuff. Sweating the small stuff. And many of us, we've just kind of grown up believing, don't sweat the small stuff. And for somebody that you deal with heart palpitations, you deal with a bad heart, and you're like going, hey, if I sweat the small stuff, it's not going to be good for my health. That's probably some good advice. But once you begin to discover that it's the small things, it's the little things that shape so much of who our life is and who we end up becoming. Once you discover this, you learn it's important to sweat the small stuff. That when you think about it's the little stuff. It's the little stuff that often determines the direction of our life. It's the little things that end up dominating our life. That when we see somebody we haven't seen in a long time and they say, what you been up to? And we try to come up with something really big and grandiose and we can't think of anything because we've just been doing all of the small stuff. And we want to give them a big answer, but we've just been about these things that just dominate our life. It's the little things. The little things, they set the direction of your life. And if we're really honest, I think that we would look at our lives and see some of the most destructive things that have happened in our life, the destructive choices, the destructive things that have happened to us that we've had a hand in. It wasn't just circumstances coming at us. It was because of some little decisions that we made. We thought, it's not a big deal. It's just going to be for now. But it's still haunting us because these little things. And it's why it's so important that we would sweat the small stuff. When Paul was writing to that church in Galatians and he was trying to get them to understand what we're calling the cumulative effect, when he was trying to get them to understand this, he shared this with them in verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Since those little things, just keep doing good, just keep doing it. It's just a small little thing. But we can grow tired so easily. He says, let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. That at just the right time, that's God's timing, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. It's why we got to sweat the small stuff and keep on keeping on. When we sweat the small stuff, when we take the time, the effort, the energy, when we sweat the small stuff, we secure the big stuff. Because it's the small stuff that builds into and leads to the big things that end up happening. And the cumulative effect is the result of consistency over a period of time. So today we're going to wrap all this up. We're going to talk about connection. We're talking about connection. I've got two principles I'm going to share with you. One principle I'm going to share right here up front, and I'm going to spend most of our time together unpacking all of this. And then I'm going to leave you one. I'm just going to drop one on you right at the very end, the second principle. So here's the first principle, the principle of connection. Connection leads to production. Connection leads to production. This is where when people are religious, when religion, whether it's Christianity or a different religion or whatever, but when people have a religious approach to life, they get the order of this wrong. They end up reversing it. And religious people, that they believe this, it's the production that leads to connection. It's when I produce, when I work hard and I work hard, I put my effort and I'm disciplined and I'm doing all these things and I do them for God. When I do this, if I just keep producing, if I produce enough and if I produce it long enough, then I hope that I'm going to experience a connection with my Heavenly Father. And that's what religion says. That's what religion tries to get us to do. But that was never what Jesus was showing or modeling or teaching. That what Jesus was teaching is this very principle, is that connection leads to production. That is when we're connected, to Him, the things that end up being produced because of that connection. It's not the other way around. It's not that we produce, hoping that finally, maybe, I might be able to get connected to Jesus. And so in John chapter 15, Jesus actually teaches on this. He actually shares this. And so we get a look, and we're going to unpack this very truth, this principle of connection. In John chapter 15, starting in verse 1, we're going to look at these 8 verses together. It says, Jesus said, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. So He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. Now, you might not have studied the book of John, and if you have, maybe this has never stood out to you. But John, the writer of the Gospel of John, he actually captures 7 I am statements that Jesus made. And this is the 7th one. It's the last one. But Jesus, He's making these I am statements. That Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He talked about, I am the gate, talking about, hey, I'm what people have to come through, the doorway. I'm the gate in order to get to heaven. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He said this before He ever rose from the dead. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. These are these 6 I am statements that Jesus has already made. And then He has this 7th and last one. I am the true grapevine. And some of you guys might be going, okay, I get it. He said, I am. What's up with that? Well, here's the real significance. The I am is identity. It's an identity piece. That in our Old Testament, very, very early on, what we get to see is this guy named Mo. You might know him more like Moses, you know, but we go way back, so I call him Mo. But there's this guy named Mo, Moses. And Moses had this encounter that he was up on a mountainside, and there was this bush, and it was like burning, but it wasn't being consumed. And he's kind of walking over there out of curiosity. He gets there, and the bush begins to talk to him. It's because the presence of God is inside of this bush that's burning, but yet not being consumed. And God begins to speak to Moses and lets Moses know that He's got a plan and a purpose for him, that he has something, He's got a task He wants him to do, a ministry, an opportunity for him to be able to serve God by serving God's people. And Moses isn't really interested in this. And he keeps trying to shoot it down and saying why he can't. And one of those times is Moses is just starting to entertain this idea, should I? One of the things that he tells this bush, he's telling God, he's like saying, okay, who am I supposed to tell them sent me? You know, am I just supposed to show up to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and say, hey, king, it's been a while since we've seen each other. There was some family history there. But listen, I was talking to this bush the other day. And I'm just supposed to take all of your slaves, and I'm just supposed to set them. They're just going to come with me. And you know what? It's been great 400 years for us to be able to do all the things and build up. But it's time for us to go. Who am I supposed to tell them sent me? And God said, tell them, I am sent you. Tell them, I am sent you. Well, I am is God's identity. And I am is actually this name of God. It's Yahweh. Yahweh God. And so He says, tell them this. And so here's Jesus. And He's getting near the end. He started these things because He's knowing, hey, I've got to be making sure these guys know and these guys understand, and I'm going to be leading them along and showing them. And here He is. He's a day. One day away from giving His life on the cross. And He looks at these guys, and He's only got 11 because Judas, there was 12, and Judas has already left to go plot and plan against Jesus. And He's talking to these 11. And He says, I am the true grapevine. And the Heavenly Father, He's the gardener. He's got some things that He wants them to know and understand. And as He says this, I am, He's not going to be remembered as the guy who was. Hey, that guy who would have been. It's I am. I am. And so he's looking at these guys and he's wanting them to understand that he is the connection to the Heavenly Father. That the reason that you and I have the ability to be connected to our Heavenly Father is because of Jesus. And he's wanting his disciples to know and understand this. And so he's letting them know, I am the true grapevine. Verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit. And he prunes the branches that don't bear fruit. Verse 2 is an uncomfortable verse. Because verse 2 is a painful verse. Because the pain in verse 2 is, hey, listen, God's going to do some cutting. He's either doing some cutting off or some cutting back. That's what he's doing. He cuts off the branches that don't produce fruit. They don't bear fruit. Okay, he cuts them off, and he cuts back. That's the pruning. He cuts back. He doesn't get rid of the branches. He just cuts back on the branch. Those that are already producing fruit. This is what the Heavenly Father, the gardener, is doing. And he goes on and he says, so they will produce even more. That's why he does the pruning. That's why he does the cut back. He does the cut back so that they will produce even more. That Jesus is saying, listen, he's the vine, and we're branches. We're just branch people. That's who we are. You know, kind of you leave church today. Wait, what'd you learn at church this weekend? I'm a branch. Because that's who we are. We're branch people, okay? And what we're learning as Jesus is talking about this is he's saying, listen, the Heavenly Father, who's the gardener, he cuts off. He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. He cuts it off. And we're going to learn a little bit more later about what he does with that branch. But then for the branches that they do bear fruit, he just cuts them back. He doesn't cut them off, he cuts them back. Because when they have this fruit that they're producing, he's going, hey, you're great at producing fruit. I want to make sure that you're going to continue to be great. I'm going to help you keep producing even more. Because it's the connection that leads to the production. It's being connected. It's when a branch is connected to the vine that's where it finds its source, its sustenance, its life. And listen, there's sometimes when we try to live outside of our zone. And we try to live like we're the vine. Okay? We sometimes interact with people and what they're going through. And you know what we try to do? We try to breathe life into them. We try to help them. We try to sustain them. But we're just branches. And yes, they need help and they need to understand there is a life source somewhere. But that life source, it's not you, it's not me. That Jesus, he's the true vine. And we've got to make sure that that's where we keep pointing people back to. He's talking to these 11 disciples, verse 3. He says, you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. That you're good to go for a while. And he's telling them this. I'm sure that this kind of echoes back. It's why John's writing this years later. He's remembering all of the details. And he's writing this years later. Because they went through a very dark time the very next day when Jesus gave his life. And he was put inside a cave and it was sealed over. We call it a tomb. And he was buried, we refer to it as. And he was put in there. And he's put in all these burial clothes. He's rowl wrapped up. And it's like finito, over. And they're like, okay, what's happening? Because we thought you were setting up a kingdom here, and you can't set up a kingdom here if you're not still around. And they went through a very dark 3 days. But he tells them, you've already been pruned. You are ready to produce fruit. You've been purified. You've been listening to everything that I've been teaching. You get it, and you've got it. Verse 4, remain in me, and I will remain in you. Remain in me. This word remain, it has the same understanding of live, stay, dwell. Remain, live in me, stay in me, dwell in me. And I will live in you, I will stay in you, I will dwell in you. Stay connected to me. Because it's the connection that leads to the production. The vine, it's the source. And so we've got to stay connected to the source. He says, for a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. That there has to be this persistence. That this persistence of staying connected. And you know what? Persistence, it's never easy. Persistence, it's never easy. It's why we call it persistence, right? It's because I'm persevering. I'm keeping on. I'm trying to keep going. I'm trying to be. Because it takes effort to keep on keeping on. See, persistence, it's difficult because the progress is slow. Sometimes there's no traces. There's no sign that progress is even happening. And when there's no sign that progress is happening, that's when it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to be persistent. And the longer the time span, the longer the days on the calendar keep being ticked off, it is going, hey, whoa, how can I keep at it? Because there's slow progress. And slow progress sometimes feels like what? No progress. And so we have to be persistent. It's frustrating. There's even times it's unrewarding in the moment to be persistent. But the reward comes later. If we will be persistent, it will bring a harvest. And that harvest that it brings, it will be worth it. But when a branch tries to act like the vine, it is exhausting. When we're the ones that we're trying to produce life out of our own efforts, it is exhausting. And so that perseverance is about staying connected to the vine. That yes, we need to branch out, but it's only because we're staying connected to the vine. That our ability to produce, it is not found in and of ourselves. That the production comes from the connection. See, it's that connection that it leads to the production. So Jesus, he says, yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Let's know the roles. Let's know who each other, who we are. I'm the true vine, but you are the branches. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Listen, everything is spiritual. Everything comes back to spiritual. And if we stay connected, if we remain, we live, stay, and we dwell, and we remain connected, we will produce not just fruit, but we will produce much fruit. Now, it's going to happen later. It doesn't happen in the moment. That's why we have to persevere. That's why there has to be this persistence. Jesus said, yes, I'm the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. The independent of Jesus, we can do nothing of lasting value. That if we're not living a life connected to Jesus, we will not produce anything that has lasting value, no eternal value to it. So we have to stay connected. That all true branches, Jesus is the true vine, and all true branches, they produce fruit. And they produce much fruit. And maybe you've been church for a while, or you were church a long time ago, and you're just not coming back, whatever it is. Sometimes there's this belief that this producing fruit, that it is the evangelism, it is the leading others to Christ. Now that's a way to bear fruit, but it's not the only way to bear fruit. In fact, we get a look and we get to see what we were taught on this whole fruit thing, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, it's joy, it's peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. These are the aspects. This is what the fruit is. This is what we should be producing. But we only produce it if we're connected. That is the connection that leads to the production. And if we're not connected and we're trying to produce love so that we can earn a connection, it won't last. And it certainly won't work. And so we have to know, what is Jesus wanting us to know and how is it that we're supposed to do? In verse 6, he says, anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. That when there's insincere faith, you just get thrown on the incinerator pile. That faith is not genuine, it's not sincere, it's not real. You're going to wither up and you're going to die, you're going to lose that connection because it's not a genuine, there's no sincerity in that faith. And many who hope to be in heaven, many who hope to be in heaven for all of eternity, they fail to depend on Jesus. They fail to have a connection to Jesus. I don't know if this is part of your story and where you're at, or if it's just maybe somebody else's story. But there's a lot of people that have this particular story, and their story is this, that if you talk to them about eternal hope, if you talk to them about heaven, that their belief is this, that they've got to have a bigger pile of producing good than they have to have of a pile where they produced some bad. And as long as their pile of good, as long as they produce and produce and produce, and they've got more good in their life than they do bad, then they hope that they can get to heaven. They hope that because of all this production, and that this production, there's more to it than the production of the bad, they hope that that'll get them into heaven. So they make it all about production. And they begin to believe and think, hey, it's the production that leads to a connection. So if I produce and produce and produce the right stuff and at least have a little bit more of it than I did of the other, then I'm going to get my connection into heaven. But it doesn't work that way. It's a great deception. That it's about being connected to the true vine, being connected to Jesus. And it's through that connection that, yeah, we're going to end up starting to produce some good things. But we can't get it backwards. Because if you get it wrong, you're going to be wrong for all of eternity. So we've got to make sure that we're looking at the source and what the source is telling us. And for many people, instead of them being connected to the true vine, that they find other things that they'd rather be connected to. That they look at the whole thing and they're connected to their bank balance. They're connected to a pedigree. That what they end up getting connected to, that they connect to a religion. But they don't connect to the vine. Some people will even connect to the church and miss out on being connected to the vine. Because it's not being part of church that ensures that we're connected to Jesus. It's our connection to Jesus that should lead us to be connected to the local church. And that we live our lives seeking to be connected to something and something. But when we get connected to the vine, it is life-sustaining all the way through eternity. It never stops. Verse 7. But if you remain in me and my words remain in me, remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Some of you guys just got motivated to start memorizing scripture. I didn't know that was in the Bible. Thanks for pointing that out. Well, I can ask anything I want and it's going to be granted. Why didn't you say so earlier? Let's make sure we have a good understanding of this. See, when you're connected to the vine and you live your life with that kind of connection, let me tell you what happens. You begin to want the things that the gardener wants. You begin to want what the vine wants for you. And so the very things you want, the very things you begin to ask for, you begin to ask for the things that God's going, I can't wait to give you, and I can't wait to show you, I can't wait to share with you. Because you begin to want the things that God wants for you. And so then you can ask for anything that you want because your wants have now become in line with the wants that God has for you. And so, yes, it's so true. And Jesus is saying, hey, and you can ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. Because fruitless is useless. But when you bear much fruit, this brings great glory to my Father. All right, I told you I had another principle I was going to wrap up with, and it is the principle of consistency. This principle is consistent commitments create monumental moments. It's these consistent commitments that they create the monumental moments. It's these things that we just keep doing and we keep putting into practice. We just keep doing them over and over and over and over. And we begin to grow in this, and it will lead to some monumental moments. I heard something years ago, a couple of decades ago, and I've never forgotten it because it puts everything in perspective. And so if you've kind of checked out and you just kind of go, okay, like just doing my church thing, and you're kind of going over, Will, so watch it. You know, and let me give you something that I think will make your time with us today absolutely worth it. And it's something that I heard years and years and years and years ago. You can't get marinated taste on microwave time. But it's what we want, right? We're just going, I just want, but I want it to taste like it's marinated. I want it to be like, see, it's this consistent commitment that creates the monumental moments. It's when you just keep on keeping on, and you keep on, and you keep working it, and you keep working it, and it's just slow, and it is steady. The harvest is going to come, the fruit's going to be there, and it's going to lead to some monumental moments. There's going to be some people that you look out there, and you look at their marriage, and you go, oh, that is amazing. I just want what you have. You know, hey, what are the three things I could do to have a marriage like that? That's a marinated marriage. That took consistency over and over and over, and it's over time that it leads to these monumental moments. It's a principle that we cannot forget or neglect because it's all about the cumulative effect. When it comes to our relationship with God, God doesn't demand more from you, but he desires more of you. He doesn't demand more from you, but he desires more of you. And this can only happen when we live connected to the vine and we welcome in the cutting back, the pruning, so that we can begin to produce this fruit and we get to enjoy life. It's not because God's demanding more from us, but it's because he desires more of us. Connection. Will you bow your heads with me? I want to ask this morning, are you somebody that when you came in today, that you've just been living this life thinking, I just have to be producing? And you've bought in to the deception of, hey, if I produce enough, I can get connected. I can get connected to God. I can get connected to Jesus. I can get a connection into heaven. And I've just got to produce. But when we listen to the words of Jesus, when we look at these and we understand them, we unpack them, that it becomes clear to you that no, it's about the connection that leads to the production. And that you need to be connected. And you need to be connected to the true vine. And so if you're somebody this morning that you've just not been living your life by being, trying to be connected and understanding, I got to live it by being connected to Jesus, the true vine. But you keep trying to work and earn your way into heaven, a position, a place with Jesus. And you see all of this and go, oh, this is eye-opening. And now that your eyes have been opened, now your heart, you're willing to open up your heart and say, I need this connection. So if you've never experienced this, having a connection that's built on a relationship, not religion, built on a relationship, being connected to Jesus, the true grapevine, and you're ready for that, and you're ready to experience this connection that's going to last for all of eternity because you've never had this, would you just raise your hand quickly and give me some eye contact and just say, "Well, that's me. That I've been living my life without this connection. I see you. And I'm ready. I'm ready to live a life of connection." Is there anybody else in here that would say, "That's me. That today is my day, that everything's going to change, that fruitless is useless, and I'm ready to be connected and produce fruit"? Is there anybody else? I see you. I see you. I see you. I'm going to lead you in a time of prayer. I see you. And if you would pray this prayer in the silence of your heart right where you are to your Heavenly Father who hears you from your heart, then you can let Him know that today is the day that you're going to connect to Him. So pray this with me silently right where you are. Heavenly Father, you are the gardener. And Jesus, you are the true grapevine. And I want to be a branch connected to you, Jesus. That it would be about being connected that brings about the production. Because I'm exhausted. And I'm tired. I'm weary of working hard to gain something that I can never gain on my own. So Jesus, thank you for giving and sustaining life. I just admit to you that I have faults, my failures, I have sinned, and I need your connection that gives me forgiveness and gives me purpose. So today I give my life to you. And I am ready to branch out off of you, the vine, living for you. And I understand it's the connection that leads to production. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.